to give back the word that came last Sunday, the 21st. Spring forth from the womb, my children. Transition time has passed. It is time for my church to be received by the world. The bride has been prepared. The bridegroom is ready. The Holy Spirit has been released. All things are in alignment. Darkness is being overcome by the light. Light, let it shine forth. Let it shine forth. It will be blinding to some. Some will be afraid. But you, my children, will have peace. My peace freely given, so freely received. Hear my word. Hear my word. Birthing process is completed, which is awesome. Birthing process is completed. It's not being complete. It is completed. Past tense. So hold on to that truth, and the Holy Spirit will certainly be glorified. And now, Father, I ask that you would give life to these words, because you're the one that showed them to me this morning. And I want my brothers and my sisters to grow in wisdom and in truth, in Jesus' name. This word was pressed into my heart at around 4:15 this morning. And I want to take you with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And the word that I'm going to stress on is verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masqueraded as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. But this past week, I was aware that darkness was trying to hit. Did anybody have any hits during the week? Put your hand up if... Look around. Yeah. Thank you. You know what I mean by hits? Pain in places you normally don't have any pain. Torment when you don't have any normal torment. Places where things just... They should normally fit in, but they were just pushed right out of the norm. And you had a problem and an anxiety, and all kinds of things that are not normal happening to you. If you relate to that, would you wave your hand, please? Okay. I found that it was hitting me and hitting a few others. So I began to knock on the Lord's door. Father, what's up? What is going on? And I heard loud and clear with a mini vision that there are some that particularly would like to have me out of the way. And they would like to have who else out of the way? You.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You are an irritation to the false. And I'm not trying to pick on any particular ministry or people. I am saying that if St. Paul's telling us to be careful, that there are some that don't like us, there may be a peace and a place. Yes, a peace from God, but a place to grow up and recognize that you are an irritation. The darkness does not particularly like who you are and what you're doing. I want to back it up now. Verse 1. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ. Meaning that St. Paul was really saying to the people of God in Corinth, so he's saying it to the people of God in New England, I want one husband for you, Jesus Christ. You are the bride. So that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds, and I stress, your minds, may somehow be led astray. Your brain can get you into trouble. Your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Verse 4. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. If you don't have it circled, I would suggest you circle super apostles. I can tell you that I have witnessed with my own eyes people calling themselves by titles in order to bring honor to themselves and bring financial gain. Those are false. If your heart is pure before God, you're not going to do something in order for you to get a benefit, a financial success, or a political success, or a religious success. Because Jesus himself warned that this would happen. And we'll take that in a minute. So there are some that call themselves super apostles. And he says in verse 6, I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. What is a sin to me, to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you, free of charge? I robbed other churches, says St. Paul, by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. But I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want to an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. You say, well, why are you talking about that? Because we are human. And we have a tendency to lift up somebody that supposedly has a title. God taught me this years ago when he told me I had a bunch of idols. And I said, Lord, I got rid of all the idols that I could think of when I cleaned the house of the stuff that I own. You say, well, what were you really doing? Anything that got my attention more than it should, I said to the Lord, okay, give me grace to get rid of it. That included books. It included different things that I had very special connections to. But the Lord was going a little higher, and he said to me, how about the people you worship? Well, I didn't think I was worshiping anybody. He said to me loud and clear, if Dr. So-and-so walks into the room
What happens to you? Oh, I says, well, I'll pay respect. He says, it's not just respect. You think they're better than you. And you perceive them to be better than you. That's not God. Their salvation is just as important to them as it is to you. The blood of the Lamb washed away their sins if they choose. But what about you? I've already cleaned you, so that automatically makes you higher. And it's not a boasting thing. He said, what about attorney such and such? Oh, my. Well, you know. Whew. Then he reminded me when I was in Broadway getting a signature from a famous actress. And I came home with the book after watching the play. I stood in line and I came back to my hotel and I thought, woohoo! And you all want to know what it was? Debbie Reynolds.
Oh. Sorry.
Can you imagine? You can see I'm older than you are, kiddo. You didn't think it would be her. Well, the first one I think was Lauren Bacall, but that's okay.
I know that.
You laugh. But you know, the Lord showed me that that was a form of worship. Now, in case you forgot, Debbie Reynolds is about this high.
Yeah. Wasn't Debbie Reynolds Shirley Temple?
No.
No. Oh, good.
Shirley Temple's not the same person. Shirley Temple Black is a different individual.
Sorry,
it's okay. Debbie Reynolds was...
Princess Leia's mother.
Yes. Yeah, that'll give you a date.
Debbie Reynolds, I didn't
know Gabby. No, I didn't say Gabby, I said Debbie.
I said Gabby.
No, Debbie Reynolds. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that I had a form of worship to these people. And God was showing me that it was out of order. They were less than me because of Christ in me. Whoa. Is this a pride thing? No. It's a salvation thing. Your spirit has been transformed because of Jesus Christ. And you have a superior spirit automatically because it will never die. It'll never go to hell. Now close your eyes for a minute. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord, if I have worshipped in front of people or put some people on a pedestal,
show me.
So that I can ask you to forgive.
Me.
Or worshiping at these wrong altars. And I'm asking you to convince me that I have a superior spirit connected by the Holy Ghost to my Heavenly Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ has made me superior. I am an eternal saving, an eternal spirit, never to die. Hallelujah. So Paul is knowing this already, and he's got some people competing with him, and they're trying to tear him down. And in case you forgot, they'd love to tear you down.
I should have heard a couple of amens.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 12 again. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles. Deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masqueraded as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So who's going to judge them? The Lord will take care of them. But in the process, you and I need to stop throwing ourselves under the rug. Oh, I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
Why do we throw ourselves under the rug? We are superior. Not from a prideful standpoint, but from what Jesus already paid for and made you righteous in his eyes. He made you special. You are greater than all these names in Hollywood. Hollywood. Who got the Hollywood before?
Linda.
Amen? Amen? Try it on. Say, I have a better spirit than those in Hollywood. I'm waiting for God to make it Hollywood. Hallelujah. See, I think sometimes we have this low self-esteem that has been so ingrained with us and pushed down into our hearts that we believe the lie. It's comfortable. But it's not God. I want to take you with me now to two particular scriptures. Matthew chapter 13. Hold on a minute, I've got to double check. I'm sorry, Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 22. If you check out Mark 13, you'll see that these are all signs of the end of the age. But I don't want to go into every detail about earthquakes and all this stuff. But I want to give you one verse. Verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. Who are the elect? We are. So deception is part of the game. Let's go to one more. Matthew chapter 7. By the way, somebody had a word today about the tree and its fruits. That's the scripture. Watch out for false prophet. Verse 15. Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like Christians. They dress like Christians. But inwardly they are furious or ferocious wolves. And by their fruit you will recognize them. Woo-hoo. By their fruit, meaning their demeanor, their character, their way they work with you, the way they try to, you know, manipulate you, change you, make you go off course. That's their purpose. They are false prophets. 1 more, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. See, I'm trying to give you enough to verify that St. Paul knew what he was talking about because the warnings had come through our Savior. Verse 11, 24:11. Let me back it up to verse 8. All these are the beginnings of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. The end of the age. It's not the end of the world. So what am I saying to you? I'm trying to give you a heads up. Because of your obedience and because of the seed of life that's in you, Christ Jesus, darkness is irritated by you. Darkness is using different people to maybe seduce you for a season, to try to teach you and get you off course, preaching a different Jesus. The Jesus that I know said to the woman at the well, it's not a matter of how many husbands you've had. It's not the boyfriend that you're home with. That's your problem. You need living water. John chapter 4. You need living water. Why did she need water? To wash away the pain and the hurts from her heart. So she could walk in obedience to the Holy Ghost. She needed living water because she had had a life that was very, very difficult. Maybe 5 or 6 very abusive people in her life. But the Holy Spirit came and he flooded her because she said, yes, I want this water. Tell me how to get it. And he did. The Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of you. And the majority of you already have him operating in your hearts. So when you question the Holy Spirit about someone's intention. May they call themselves apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. It doesn't matter. They may be on TV and have huge anointings. But are they false? See, I'm not trying to create fear. I'm trying to create caution in your heart. Got it? A caution button, a little yellow light that says, wait a minute. What am I supposed to be listening to? What is this message that's not quite pure? Or if it's making you feel guilty? Or trying to seduce finances? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Lord gave me a vision a couple times this morning about the first 4 years that I was on the prayer line. I had a gentleman that would call the prayer line every single day because he had given $1,000. He was on disability. And he was expecting a miracle woman in his life. Oh, you laughed.
No, I wasn't laughing.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Okay? It wasn't funny. This guy really believed that this ministry on television was going to provide a woman for him as long as he gave $1,000 gift. Okay? And because the scripture says if you, you know, kind of take your faith and send, then you're going to get. Every single day for at least for the first 4 years. He would be on the phone telling me God was unfaithful to him. Because he was faithful to give his $1,000. And I tell you, even now when I listen to that ministry on the air, my stomach still turns for the brokenness of this man. Deception! Deceitful! Seductive! Controlling! Are you catching on? Anybody? Okay? Am I telling you something that's not true? Then pray and ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit to know what to do with the finances that you have. I'm not saying we need an offering. God has supplied all our needs. I am boasting that God has definitely blessed the house of prayer because we will not seduce you for money. And I refuse to do it. When we started this corporate structure, God was the one that was in control. And I said, I am sick and tired of putting people on the spot because the basket's going by and they've got nothing to put in it. Do you understand how horrible that feels when the basket's going in front of you and you've got to pass it on and you have nothing? I've seen people just go with their fingernail underneath, hoping that it'll sound like a coin. Because the neighbors are watching and they're embarrassed. Come on, wake up. Am I really that boring?
No.
Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
Then wake up! Okay? God knows how to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory, and he has proved it to us.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm trying to tell you, a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a vision because a person was on the phone and said, my finances are horrible. I'm going to have to do something I've never had to do. And as I began to pray, and I went into the realm of the Spirit, and I saw a field of mud. And I said, you're putting your money in the mud. True as I'm telling you. I didn't want to speak it because I know the person. And I said, you're putting your money in mud. Tell me something. Would you plant your precious seeds of corn into a mud pile? Because they'll rot. I says, you're putting finances in mud. It's not going to grow. And you wonder why you haven't got a harvest. So we prayed for wisdom. That God would awaken them. And to make them apply whatever finances they have to the right place. I'm not going to tell them where to put it. I had a few ideas, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't tell them. Okay? What am I saying to you? Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I'm asking for wisdom.
I'm asking for wisdom.
And Holy Spirit counsel.
And Holy Spirit counsel.
And when I give,
and when I give,
I need to obey.
I need to obey.
Show me what to do and when.
Show me what to do and when.
And then the finances will reap a harvest. When I put it in good ground.
Teach me.
Counsel me. About the false prophets.
The false apostles.
And the false preachers.
And the false preachers.
And give a big warning to me. If the house of prayer.
Is falling off.
In any way.
Show me how to pray.
Show me how to intercede.
So that they'll stay on the right course.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Why do you think I added that part? Because I am just as vulnerable as any one of you. I am not trying to say that I've got all the answers. I am never going to tell you that. That would be a lie from hell. I constantly run to the Lord for help. And I want you to do the same. Whoever thinks he's so smart that he can never be outsmarted, I've got news for you. Peter had a problem. He thought he would never deny the Lord. And the Lord told him before the rooster crows, you're going to fall flat on your face and deny me. So much for boasting. Three times. That's right. Okay, that's it. That's all I got.